Your relationship can't survive on the leftovers of your time, your energy, or your attention.
That's why we created Grounded in Love, a couples retreat in Sedona, Arizona on beautiful Oak Creek Canyon. It's October 22nd to 25th, which is a Thursday to a Sunday.
This isn't just a getaway. This is for intentional days to slow down, reconnect, build emotional safety, and create the kind of relationship you've been working so hard to build.
We'll guide you through powerful workshops, private coaching sessions, plenty of powerful experiential moments to connect the two of you, and plenty of time for just the two of you to enjoy.
We intentionally limited this retreat to 8 couples so that you could have a deeply personalized experience. We have filled half of the retreat, so we have 4 spaces remaining.
So if you've been looking for the right time to invest in your relationship, this is it. Click the link in the show notes or email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com, and we'll set up a 30-minute discovery call to make sure it's a great fit for you.
We'd love to spend the long weekend with you.
Have you ever felt lonely in your relationship, even when your partner is sitting right next to you?
Or maybe you stop bringing things up because it just doesn't feel worth it anymore.
A lot of couples think that they have a communication problem,
when what they actually have is an emotional safety problem.
Today, we're sharing 7 signs that your relationship may not feel emotionally safe,
including some signs that are so subtle, most couples can miss them.
And if you're seeing yourself in these patterns,
don't panic. Awareness is the first step of repair.
Let's renovate.
Are you ready to renovate your relationship? Welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I'm Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin. And today we're talking about one of the key tenets in our philosophy around relationship wellness, and that is emotional safety. And so this is going to be a 2-part series.
Yep.
The first, we're going to talk to you about what are 7 very clear signs that your relationship is lacking emotional safety. And in the second episode, we're going to talk about how to rebuild or possibly even build for the first time emotional safety in your relationship. And so the first thing to probably talk about is just, briefly defining what is emotional safety, right? And the way we look at emotional safety is the ability to be yourself wholly with your partner. It's that I can be the wonderful parts of myself, I can be the less wonderful parts of myself, and no matter what, my partner is going to be there for me in those moments.
I'm just going to share something with you guys really quick because I have to. So EJ and I were like recording this 45 minutes ago, and it was amazing. And then something happened to our video, so we lost the whole thing. And so we're doing this for a second time, and we got into this like little thing because it's like my little brain doesn't work like it used to because of my perimenopause, menopause stuff. And like to lose 45 minutes, and we were on it, and it felt so good. Feels like devastating. But we were able to, within 15 minutes, come back together and come on here. And so it's interesting that it happened in like the 7 signs that your relationship doesn't feel emotionally safe, because we've worked really hard to build emotional safety throughout the year. So it's still hard sometimes because I was mad at you for whatever happened to our video. But it just shows you like we could have had this thing that happened that would have like pulled us apart all day. And I could have stomped on out of here and been like, I'm not doing this again. I can't believe you forgot to press video. And I didn't. I went out, I took a pause, came back. I'm like, this is really hard because we have to record like 10 videos today, but we got this, you know? And so I just want to, just say like emotional safety is key. It's the ability to hold space for the other person's suffering. So in that moment, I was really frustrated. And EJ, I could tell he for sure was defensive and wanted to get defensive.
I was doing my best fighting not to.
But he was able to like hold space for my suffering, which I was angry. I was anxious. I was sad. I was disappointed. I was all those things. Had he not been able to hold that space, we wouldn't be recording this podcast right now, just to let you know. So again, another part of emotional safety is being able to hold space for your other person's suffering instead of being reactive, which we'll talk way more about that in part two.
Yes, and you'll hear from what Tara said talking about that incident that like because we have an understanding of what it is and the emotional safety is something we're striving for in our relationship, that then we were able to sort of like keep ourselves within like as best as we could in that window of tolerance and not become hyper aroused or hypo aroused. So today we're offering you the seven signs that we just used to stay emotionally safe. So these are the seven signs your relationship doesn't feel emotionally safe. The first sign is you don't tell each other the whole truth. And and what that can look like is it can be really like content oriented. It could be like, well, I'm going to tell you like a portion of this, the portion that I think like I'll be okay, that maybe you won't be reactive. It can also be like almost like holding back a portion of your emotions because you're not being fully transparent with one another because you don't entirely feel safe to do so.
Yeah, so it's like caretaking, minimizing, withholding, protecting feelings. Again, one of the signs that you might not have emotional safety in your relationship is you don't tell each other the whole truth. You're not as transparent.
Yes.
And none of it is because you're a bad person. It's because we're like in a protective stance and it's okay. But again, we're just trying to be very clear around the signs that you do not feel emotionally safe with your partner.
Yeah. And the second is a sort of a variation of that theme. It's that just those difficult conversations, they get delayed, right? Like you're always like saying like, like now's not the time. And there's a delicate balance here because we had a listener write a comment on YouTube in the last week and they were talking about like, you know, it's like, I know that it's important to find the right time to have the difficult conversation with my partner. But if you're finding yourself like consistently with different topics, always delaying it, holding off, then maybe you don't even like end up talking about it. Mm-hmm. That's saying like there's something internally for me, there's something within our relationship that I don't feel safe. So really what I'm doing is I'm avoiding having these difficult conversations.
Yeah, if you have that feeling of like walking on eggshells, that's like a good indicator for number two, the difficult conversations get delayed because like walking on eggshells feels uncomfortable. Or maybe you need, right, that couple drinks of wine or whatever before you have the conversation, which then only escalates it because you don't want to have that tension around it. You know, a lot of our couples get into arguments after they've been drinking because they wait until then because they start to feel more relaxed, but it's actually like total like sabotage. So again, number two, difficult conversations get delayed.
The third relates back to something Tara shared right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And that is defensiveness shows up quickly. And what we see with couples is that it is just instinctive. The minute they go into a difficult conversation, one or both of them becomes almost instantaneously defensive.
Yeah, instantaneously reactive, which is defensive.
Yeah. And that's a negative because then it automatically sets up the dynamic where you guys are oppositional to one another. So really paying attention there. When we have difficult conversations, do one or both of us become defensive quickly? Probably because you don't feel safe and you feel like you have to defend yourself from your partner.
And that just means like, again, explaining, justifying, or counterattacking. Because I think so many people don't think of that as defensiveness. They think of that as like making sure they get their words in, but it is like it's defensiveness and the other person doesn't feel safe when that's happening because they're not getting their feelings validated in that moment.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Number four, let's go.
All right. Number four is the one where it's like, it's so sad when you see couples like this. And one of the things we always tell couples is like, it is harder to feel lonely when you're in relationship sometimes than it is to be lonely when you're out of relationship because it kind of makes more sense there. And so the number four sign that there's a lack of safety in your relationship is that you just feel lonely. You feel like I can't totally open up and share what's going on inside of me and therefore I'm alone in it.
Yes, and I think as humans, like we fear rejection. And so when we're in an intimate relationship and we feel alone, It's 10 times worse than feeling alone when you're not in an intimate relationship to the person who's supposed to show up for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So number five, and it definitely dovetails into that feeling of loneliness, is that being vulnerable with your partner, like opening up in a way and exposing a part of yourself that's tender, you know, that vulnerability feels like a big risk.
Yeah, I think I shared this like before, but I was working with a couple yesterday and we're going through the intimacy series and we were talking about like their negative core beliefs that are pretty unconscious to them when they're in the bedroom. And hers was like, if I'm vulnerable, it's dangerous. And his was, I have to be in control in order to be safe. I was trying to help them understand, like, imagine if those two unconscious negative core beliefs of what's showing up during physical intimacy, it's going to be a disaster, right? And so just being very aware of, like, I guess they're at the place right now where they can start to be vulnerable and understand what their negative core beliefs are so it doesn't get in the way. But a lot of people that have those insecurities or needs or fears that stay hidden, like it truly does block intimacy in every way.
Yeah, and if vulnerability feels unsafe, then there's just, again, that divide of pulling apart. And it's like, I can't entirely share myself completely with you because it's not safe.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is just like, you feel like you have to filter yourself, right? It's kind of that feeling of like you're walking around a minefield or you're walking on eggshells, right? And like, I can say this, but I can't say that. And you're always sort of like second guessing what's okay to share with your partner. If you feel like you and your partner keep having the same conversation over and over, if you feel like you keep trying to connect, but you just miss each other, then this is for you.
So many couples are not lacking love. They are, however, lacking a roadmap. They feel overwhelmed, frustrated, and they're trying to figure it out on their own. Trust me, we know.
And Tara and I are now coaching couples globally. And honestly, it's become one of our favorite things to do. We're moving couples from me versus you to we. We're helping couples build that healthy, loving connection that they've always wanted.
This isn't about learning one more communication tool. It's about understanding yourself more deeply, understanding your partner more deeply to build that compassion, developing emotional safety, and building the relationship that you want to have in your life.
And because Tara and I coach every couple personally, we only have a limited amount of spaces available at any given time. So if you think the coaching might be the right thing for you, we would love to meet you.
You can schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery call where we hear your story, we tell you about how we do our work, make sure that we're a really good fit.
You can click the link in the show notes or you can email us at coaching@relationshiprenovation.com.
So please reach out. We would love to walk alongside you. When I'm doing couples work, especially around the cognitive restructuring, I'm very transparent about you guys can't filter what your thoughts are or what your feelings are because you have to be able to hear everything. You have to be able to hold that space and you have to be able to hear difficult things, right? And so that's just another piece, like in the coaching or therapeutic element, like I'm constantly saying you can't filter right now because that's not going to be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank you, Tarek. That's one of the things we try to help couples get to. And we're definitely continuing to strive to ourselves is like, and it actually happened in the example we talked to you earlier about, like when this, you know, our podcast wasn't recorded and Tara was very upset with me, is she was then telling me things that were like difficult to hear about blaming me and being mad at me. And there was a part of me that didn't want to hear it. But if I don't want to hear it, then how is she going to work through it, right? Even if it is really difficult, like I have to work to create a space where I feel safe even hearing really difficult things. And I'll be like totally honest with you. It's not easy. You know, these things that we're talking to you all about, it is hard. You know, it's not easy to hear your partner say things that make you feel bad about yourself or make you feel like you're the source of their suffering. But we want to create an atmosphere where you don't have to filter yourself. So again, number six,
I'm just going to say, as I'm not filtering, I'm still working through what happened like an hour ago, but I'm like, it's settling, you know what I mean? But it's still there. Like I still feel a little shut down in a way, but not like in a way where we can't record this podcast, but like, I still feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still am like working to stay open, trying to create a space where you don't have to filter yourself. And if you are feeling what you are feeling towards me, that's okay. Cause that's emotional safety. Whatever, wherever you are is okay. And I can handle it.
Yeah.
I can handle it.
All right. Let's go to number seven.
Okay. Number seven. And this is like sort of like the culmination of all of these things together is that whenever you are in conflict, whenever there are difficult moments, it literally feels dangerous. And I think like that's what we're working through and what happened, you know, just in the last hour with us is it still feels like a little dangerous to be interacting with one another. And when a couple has had, you know, time after time of a lack of emotional safety in their relationship, conflict does not feel safe. It feels dangerous.
And the idea is we want conflict to feel productive. Like so normally it's like, oh, there's a threat to our relationship. Like, I don't feel that way with you. I don't feel like it's dangerous right now with you because I feel like we have enough emotional safety built. Like, I feel like this is productive, right? Like we had that thing, we're working through it, so it's productive. So I don't feel the danger that you might still feel. So that tells me like maybe I have more emotional safety than you, I'm not sure. But like the idea is that conflict is productive, that there's not a threat to the relationship.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of that, we're going to get that into this in the next episode. So much of emotional safety is built around our central nervous systems and being aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And being aware of what's triggered from the past as well. And so, again, just that big sign to you out there listening is that, man, if it feels like almost like I am not safe, if it's like everything in my body is telling me danger, 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 then, you know, this next episode we're about to record with the video on is going to be super useful because we're going to help you guys figure out how do you create that safety so conflict isn't dangerous. It's actually just an opportunity to understand each other better. So we've laid out these seven signs your relationship doesn't feel emotionally safe. Next episode, we're going to dive into how to build/rebuild that emotional safety in your relationship. This is such a key tenet to everything we do. So just be aware, we have tons of resources out there for you. If you haven't already joined our Patreon community, we give tips of the day almost every day that talk about this exact type of stuff. We have the Relationship Renovation at home book that's available on Amazon. And of course, we are coaching couples as well. So if you're interested, there's all of these are linked in our bio. You know, like we've shared today, like we're working through this stuff and we love to support in any way possible you all working through this as well.
We also have our upcoming Sedona retreat for our couples. There's four spaces left. So we're excited about that. It's all going to be surrounded on emotional safety. And I'm just telling you, like, we know how difficult it can be, but it also, like, it feels so good when you're able to shift into this place of safety and knowing that there's no threat to yourself or to your relationship. It really is. It's great work. And I had like this term in the beginning that I forgot to share, but it's called ESAS, emotionally safe as shit. ESAS. Like, keep working towards ESAS. EJ also has a men's group. I'm going to call it ESAS Men's, Emotionally Safe as Shit Men. I love that, that you should change the name of that men's group, but it's also called Men Who Do the Work. Because like I know EJ, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, like he keeps getting better at holding space for my suffering. I think I'm getting better at holding safe for his suffering. I might have to do more work. I'm not sure. But it's just a constant lifelong skill that we're learning how to be more vulnerable, how to be safe for our partners, and how to stay connected. So thank you for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work. Most men aren't bad partners. They're just unequipped. You care about your relationship, but you keep having the same arguments. You shut down or you react, and then you regret it. That's not a character issue. That's a skill issue. And nobody ever taught you how to do this well. That's why I created Men Who Do the Work, an 8-week intensive to get better in your relationship. Not just talk about it, but actually practice it. You'll learn how to communicate without getting defensive and to stay grounded when things get tough and help stop the patterns that are breaking things down. Small group, 8 men, weekly sessions, real accountability. And you'll work directly with me. So if you know it's time to do things differently, reach out. coaching@relationshiprenovation.com. Let's get to work.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me and you have all the fame we need. Indeed, you and me, are we?